Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome again to the Dr. Rose Show. I do hope that you have been enjoying the topics we have covered so far this month, and I look forward to hearing your suggestions on topics you would like to hear us cover from week to week. My partners are also addressing some timely issues, and I do hope you will take a moment and tune in to their shows as well. We have Topics with Trish on Tuesdays and Thursdays, 4 p.m. Central Time, and the Two Nannies at Noon with Donna and Lee. And of course, by now, most of you know that yours truly come to you live from Florida every Monday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And as a reminder, you can follow all three of our shows on Facebook after each show is aired. Now, if you want to call in and listen live to the show, you may call 929-477-2779. I'm going to repeat that, 929-477-2779. So I hope you will join us when you can. Now, for those who follow me on Facebook, you may have noticed that another episode was scheduled this evening, and that episode was going to be with an attorney who would have been addressing the confusion that we're having arising out of this president's executive orders on immigration. Unfortunately, there has to be a rescheduling of this episode because there was a conflict with the attorney's schedule, and we will have him next week, and he may also be joined by one of his colleagues. So I think that will even make for a stronger presentation. And hopefully people will call in. We will have time allotted to have callers and to have some of your answers, your questions rather, answered. Now, again, that show has been rescheduled for March 6th, which is next Monday at 7:30 p.m. So with that said, tonight what I decided to do was to cover some of the historical aspects of immigration with the hope of clearing the clutter out of the minds of most of the people who believe that they have sole right of residence in the United States more than other people who are arriving here later. And so I have entitled the topic tonight as Immigration, the Real Deal. And you will hear me cite some of those issues, points of clarity, for everyone to understand that what we are seeing now is really not a new thing. It feels like it, it looks like it, but as you follow with me this evening, you'll be able to see some of the things that previous immigrants experience and what current immigrants are experiencing today. Now, for those of us who pay attention to current affairs, you will recall that just about every time a general election comes around in this country, politicians seem to find a soft target issue or issues with which to galvanize their base. This past election season was no different. And you will find that, like the last election, general election, immigration and social security were the issues that people galvanized around or mobilized around. The concern I and many other free thinkers have is that the tone of the messaging this time around has been extremely contentious and laced with bigotry, hatred, and falsehood, serving only to incite violence and to further divide groups of people from each other. You see, it's all about power and control. And nothing is more dangerous than when the people who have in our society get to a place where they believe that those who don't have are enjoying more benefits and privileges more than they are. Now, it sounds crazy, but if you watch what's happening, you're seeing a more vivid alignment of powerful people, people who have already accumulated much in society. And what you will find is that their primary goals seem to be to take away benefits that people who are disadvantaged are enjoying. For some reason, they're thinking that they don't deserve it or they are getting more benefits and privileges than they who have. Now, it doesn't make sense, but believe me, that's happening. Now, I want to preface the rest of my conversation by asking a question to all of you who are listening. And that question is one that I sometimes pose when I do workshops and seminar on certain issues. And since we're doing this topic tonight on immigration, my question will be, will the real American please stand? And with that question, if you are standing, it better be because you are a Native American. Other than that, I'm going to ask you to go ahead and take a seat. You see, I ask that question because, again, there are groups of people in this country who believe that they have more rights than others to inhabit these United States. And I want to remind them that while older textbooks start with the arrival of Christopher Columbus on October 12th, 1492. And those books went on to emphasize the European background of the colonization of the Americas. We have seen over recent decades of studies and research the confirmation of the prehistory of Native Americans as the true citizens of this country. So when you think of that, it simply means that if you and I are not Native American, you, along with the rest of us, come from some other place. Maybe not you listening right now because you were born here, but see, citizenship in this country is not always about birthright. It's also an issue of identity. I am just saying that when we get up and start thinking that we belong and others don't, we have to remember that our foreparents and others that we are coming down the line from, they were not from this country either. So one of the real deals that I want to start with is that despite what this president would have you believe, there is nothing really new about immigration except that most people are afraid that the once majority white population is beginning to feel overtaken by people with darker skin tones. And let me tell you, I am not making this up. I have heard leaders in the white supremacist groups publicly stating that this country is becoming far too non-white, and that is threatening for them. So here you see some of the bases for all these craziness that you see taking place with sending back people where they're from and all of that. Believe you me, if you live long enough to go through it, you will see it happening again. So the facts that support what I'm saying is the U.S. has always experienced major waves of immigration, especially during the colonial era. However, I want to have us look at the first part of the 19th century. I think that is closest to what we know, somewhere between the 1880s and 1930s. When you ask yourself, why did many immigrants arrive in the U.S. during those years? You will find a couple reasons, at least three that I know of and have read about. One, many came to seek religious freedom. And there are others, like our foreparents, they were brought here against their will. Now, that is another show all by itself. But one of the compelling reasons that those people came was that they were also seeking greater economic opportunities, which is the same reason that immigrants and migrants are coming to this country now. So when I hear the haves focusing on the have-nots and thinking that they should be further deprived of some of the benefits that they are enjoying, I just want to share with them a simple universal principle, which is if those who have continue to take the little that they have not benefit from now, those have nots will find a way to get it back one way or the other. So why are the people coming? Most are coming because those who have taken most of what those people had in their own countries. And most of us will not want to admit to that. But look at what is happening on some of the Caribbean islands and some of the other developing countries and see the history of those countries and why some of them are in the state of poverty that they are in today and struggling to keep up. We need to look back at our history. Now, one of the first major wave of immigration back in like the 1815 to about 1865, many of the immigrants at that time arrived from North and Western Europe, especially from Ireland. And they were coming, as I said, for some of the reasons I mentioned earlier, but specifically, there was a massive famine occurring at that time. So by 1930, there were some 4.5 million Irish migrating to this country and settled on the east coast of the United States. Now, if those were people coming from countries where people's skin tone was darker or brown and yellow, whatever the fear is today, I am sure you would have some of the same issues that we are having today. Now, shortly after this wave of migration, you had another wave arriving from Germany. And that bunch totaled about 5 million. They settled in the Midwest, and by the mid-1800s, when the U.S. Experienced another wave, these folks were now coming in from Asia, approximately 25 to 30,000. And what were they coming for? They were heading to California because they learned about the California gold rush. So, folks, I don't know what the big deal is now. Everybody came to this country for something. Your something might be different from my something, but we all came here for something. Now, let me go on to talk about another real deal. By around 1892, the majority of folks today, I mean, at that time, were maybe behaving like we're seeing now, where after a while, we get tired of the neighbors who don't look like us, they don't speak like us, and they don't act like us. And God forbid, they start doing a little better than us. We think that they don't deserve being in this country. They don't belong. Well, I want to tell you that in 1892, the U.S. implemented its first new federal legislation restricting, at that time, Chinese immigrants. And in 1965, I'm sure many of us didn't know that there was a quota favoring Europeans. Excuse me. But yes, there was a quota, and in 1965, that quota ended, and who became the new arrivals? Asians and Latin Americans. You know, it sounds very familiar. I remember when I used to look at some of the incidences in the 60s and how much we tried to keep one ethnic group out of certain places. And I'm saying while they're trying to keep blacks from coming through the front door, another group was walking in through the back door. So there is really nothing new, because what is happening now is that we are seeing a repeat of those incidences. And the only reason why I think some people, you know, in these groups are getting so frustrated and so hateful about what is happening, it's really either they don't read their history, and if they read their history, they don't understand it. And if that is not it, all I can think of is that their source of news is so limited. And when they hear a lie, it sounds like the truth, and that's what they grab onto. Because there is no way that you can turn around and hate people who have come into this country after you and forget that your parents, grandparents, and those who went on before them also came into this country. So there has to be another reason why they are fighting so hard about immigrants. And as I said before, one of the reasons, which I remember was predicted back in the 80s, that this country is going to have more minorities after a while, and people are seeing that happening, and they are scared straight. Now, by now, here's what I think we must agree on. It's that America has always been a nation of immigrants. I've heard it said often, but I'm not sure if we really believe that. We all came from someplace, some by ship, some by plane, some cross border fences, and most of us back in the day crossed land bridges connecting Asia and North America 10 to thousands of years ago. Okay? So we are, with the exception of the Native American, we are some aspect of immigrants. Well, that is just getting started, setting the foundation for what you're going to hear next week. And we are at almost the half point of the show tonight and about to take a break. But when I come back, we are going to talk about some of the myths about immigrants and immigration. Now, I am sure you have heard many of them, and I hope you will go on the Facebook page after the show and share your views, ask your question about anything that you're going to be hearing tonight. So just stay tuned for a few minutes. We're going to take a brief break. Thank you.
pale moon, faded rose, passed out from a passion of pain. All alone in her photograph, only passed out color remains. Wake unto this mountain morn, feeling sorry for the day she was born. All around her silent sound, hope faint in the sight of a thorn.
Okay, folks, welcome back to the Dr. Rose Show, where tonight we're talking about immigration, the real deal. And in this portion of the show, we're going to be looking at some of the myths surrounding immigration and issues related to immigrants. And as I said earlier, for those who are going to be joining us later, to listen live to the rest of the show, you just dial 929-477-2779. Okay. Before I talk about the first myth that has been circulating for years, every person who is an immigrant in this country must have heard this one. But before I talk about it, I would like to make a distinction between two words which are often used interchangeably in the immigration conversation, but that tells me that the people who use these words interchangeably really know very little about the subject. So here I want to talk about or define the word migrant. Migrant. Who is a migrant? A migrant is a person who moves regularly in order to find work, especially in harvesting crops. So many of the people who are considered undocumented, you will find, are, and depending on the region, you will find people who are moving from one state to state. And those are people, they're really following the agricultural track. And I tell people who really don't know, when you see a migrant, you really need to be having a great deal of appreciation for that person, because it is because of those people why many of us have our veggies to thank these days for good health, okay? Because many of those people are out there planting and reaping for us our local foods in this country. Now, the term immigrant. An immigrant is a person who comes to another country to take up permanent residence. So when you are speaking on the matter of immigration and the people, please be sure to have a clear understanding of what group of people you're talking about, because you would have been making a grave mistake by continuing to put both groups in the same pool. Yes, we all originated from someplace else, but the purpose and intent is different. Now, here is the first myth, that most immigrants are here illegally. Let me explain something for you. with so much controversy around the issue of undocumented immigrants, it's easy to see how people can overlook the fact that most foreign-born people living in the United States have followed the rules and had permission to be here. Many people who talk about immigrants don't even have the first clue as to what is involved in migrating to this country legally. Of the more than 41 plus million foreign-born people living in this country, the latest report I saw was from 2014. About 30 million became naturalized citizens, permanent residents, and legal residents. Now, only about 11 million were unauthorized immigrants. And of that group, I am sure you will find many of those individuals are either migrants or those who did not have authorization to be here. About 40% entered the country legally and then their visas expired, or you may want to say they overstayed their time. So this notion that most immigrants are here illegally, really, there is no such thing. Now, the second myth is that immigrants and migrants take away good-paying jobs from Americans. Now, I don't know how else to say this. And the simplest way I could even process this is that if you are in a job, there is no way an immigrant can have your job. A citizen can't have your job, or a migrant can't have your job if you're in it. So that's just the basic thought process for me. But let me tell you what the Immigration Policy Center reports. According to the Immigration Policy Center, which is a nonpartisan research group, they have found that there is little connection between immigrant labor and unemployment rates of native-born workers. Here in the United States, two trends occur: better education and an aging population. Those are two things that are happening more and more over the years. Those two things have resulted in the number, it's a decrease in the number of Americans willing or able to take low-paying jobs. And you have to figure out who is willing from who is able. Now, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, close to 26 million foreign-born people, or 17% of the country's labor force, work in the United States as of 2014. Those workers are more likely to be employed by the service industry, while native-born workers are more likely to hold jobs in management, professional, sales, and office occupation. Now, so in order to fill the void of low-skilled American workers, employers often find themselves hiring immigrant workers. One of the consequences for that, unfortunately, is that it is easy for unscrupulous employers to exploit these labor source and pay them less than they would the native-born worker. And many have no benefits at all. And when it comes to worker safety, you can just forget it. It doesn't exist. So that's the unfortunate thing about immigrant or migrant. We need to be clear about that. And on the economic level, Americans really benefit from relatively low prices on their foods and other goods produced by undocumented labor, because if you listen to one of the issues being raised now by this president about what's happening with workers out of Mexico and these taxes and tariffs that he's threatening to place on goods coming out of these countries, well, if you think you're paying high prices for food and other products, just wait. And if I were you, I would pray that this doesn't really come to pass, because we are not going to like it at all. Now, the third myth that I want to dispel is that undocumented immigrants don't pay taxes but still get benefits. You know, it's amazing what people believe. And when you hear them talk about these things, you would think that they're the ones who write these policies and implement them so they know for sure. Unfortunately, I have to tell you that many of the people who talk about these issues really don't know what they're talking about. Now, we know that one of the forms of taxes is income tax and sales tax. Now, in our state, we don't have income tax, but we do have sales tax. And let me just share with you, undocumented immigrants pay taxes every time they buy gas, when they buy clothes, when they buy cars or a new appliance. They also contribute to property taxes, which is a main source of school funding when they buy or rent a house or an apartment. I can tell you something that I know, because I have looked at people who are immigrants and their lives sometime in the, I would say maybe early 2000s. I had an opportunity to do some studies on migrants in our area. I can tell you one thing. I developed a new appreciation for my food, my vegetables, because I know for sure that many of us would not be out there in the conditions that I see some of them having to work and live in. Many of us would not be out there doing the jobs that they are doing. And if for one reason we no longer have them, we are going to see how important migrants and immigrants are. I am telling you that historically there were ways for immigrants and migrants to come to this country and legally work. But for some reason, I don't think that some people want that to happen. And this is why we don't have an authentic worker, guest worker program today. Because It has worked in the past, and it can work again. The other thing I know is that there are many people who have been paying taxes to their employers, but those employers have not paid in any of those funds to places like the Social Security office. So if those individuals were to get the opportunity to stay in this country and legalize their status and decide to become citizens, and God forbid one day they retire or cannot work anymore and want to apply for benefits such as Social Security disability, those people, some of them would not be able to do so because there has been no funds contributed in those systems for some of these people. These are some of the situations that many, many migrants have to live through. Now, the U.S. Social Security Administration estimates for those who actually are lucky enough to have their employers pay into the system, in 2014, undocumented immigrants paid in $13 billion. I said billion dollars in payroll tax alone for benefits they will never get. Now you think about that. And you are trying to tell me about justice and equality and who belong and who don't belong. They can receive schooling and emergency medical care, but not welfare or food stamps. So somebody needs to tell me who really is benefiting from $13 billion that people who don't belong here have paid into our system. You think about that the next time that you want to talk about migrants and immigrant issues. Now, the final myth that I want to debunk here is that immigrants commit most of the crimes in the U.S. According to an analysis that was done in the about 2010, I know it's about, 6 years, but that census and the American Community Survey done by a nonprofit American Immigration Council found that immigrants to the United States are significantly less likely than native-born citizens to be incarcerated. Now, I know you don't believe that, because when you hear the stories, you are hearing this emphasis placed as if nobody else is committing these major crimes but immigrants. The report went on to say that 1.6% of immigrants who are males between the ages of 18 and 39 are incarcerated. Compare that to 3.3% of native-born individuals. Now, the analysis went on to say that these likely undocumented immigrants had an incarceration rate of 1.7%. But then when they compare that to native-born men without a high school diploma, that rate was 10.7%. No, I know that you might be saying what I am thinking and have also said on other issues. One criminal offense is one too many. So I am not here trying to justify any criminal action by immigrants, by migrants, or citizens for that matter. But I just want you to be able to look at the facts when you are speaking instead of just going by what you are hearing from these white wing, what should I call them? The related alternative facts, news source. We need to do better than that and stop hating our neighbors and our friends just because they're different from us. Now, another study was done by an assistant professor at Boston University a couple of years after me, somewhere about 2012 or so. And he studied antisocial behaviors such as drug use, gambling, and fighting in immigrants and non-immigrant populations. And what he concluded was that the evidence is really compelling that immigrants are involved in these behaviors at a far lower rate than native-born Americans. So all the stuff that we are hearing and all the reasons that are being given to throw foreign-born people out of this country, they don't stand the test of scrutiny based on research. The studies are showing something very much to the contrary. And again, for sure, any behavior that threatens public safety, for me, it is one too many. And I already confirm that we have gruesome acts being committed by immigrants and migrants, but in general, they are no more than U.S.-born citizens, and we need to stop using immigrants as the scapegoat for solving the immigration problem. We can find better ways to do what we're doing. So, I am almost at the end of the show tonight, and I am open to a few questions, and I do ask you to follow us online on Facebook and leave your questions and comments. We want you to follow this conversation. You know, I want you to go back and listen to this episode after the show airs and share it with someone who you think is inclined to speak or think negatively about migrants and immigration issues, because for sure, I'm telling you, that many people speak things that are not factual, and for some reason, they may not even want to hear the truth, but somebody needs to be telling the truth now, because from this day forward, I am going to say that anyone who listens to this episode will be without excuse. We should be in a better place with people who are from other countries. We need to really have better relationships with individuals and don't hold people accountable for being born someplace different from we are. Now, we should be able to understand more what happens to families when they leave their countries and come to this country. We have the reasons why many of them come to this country. Now, why they stay is a different issue, and that is something we can talk about on the Facebook page, and I'll be happy to read your comment and respond accordingly. But let us develop more compassion for one another, because you never know when you are going to need the services of an immigrant. You are currently, I am sure, benefiting from many services that are rendered by them. So what I can say right now is have a good night and join me next week when Attorney Maitland and Leah will help to clear up some of the other misunderstandings and chaos that are brought about by this president and his last executive order. I do hope that something that was said this evening is going to help someone listening come to a better understanding of immigrants and immigration history. So thank you for listening, and I see you next week, same time.
Of pain, all alone in a photograph, only pastel color remains. Wake up to this mountain morn, feeling sorry for the day she was born. All around her silent sound.